changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more, no more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.
Good morning, everybody. It is 8 a.m. December 15th. Today's Jumpstart. I am super excited, and you want to hang around because we are going to be interviewing and talking to Ray Higdon. He and his wife, Jessica, have written this awesome book called Time, Money, and Freedom. And I have to tell you, and I'm going to tell you a bit about this without going into too much, because I want to make this about him and about you, about what Ray has to say. And the great thing is, you're going to be able to ask Ray questions in real time, a luxury not afforded to everybody. So be sure and join us and stay with us here. I'm going to read to you from today's To You Love God as people are joining us. Today is December 15th. To You Love God is my daily devotional, and you can get it anywhere books are sold. To you, you are seated in a comfortable room on a pleasant day. You feel happy and content. Suddenly, a bird flies through an open window and begins to dart around your head. Soon another bird joins in, and the two repeatedly flit around, scratching and pecking you. More birds fly in through the window and join the fray. Before long, dozens of aerial marauders are assaulting you. You wave your arms frantically, trying to shoo them off. You become consumed with protecting yourself and deflecting the attacks. Now imagine if the window were closed. Birds would strike the glass and, dazed but unhurt, fly away, leaving you unmolested. Negative thoughts that come into your mind are like those birds. They attack you. They encroach upon your solemnity. The more one thought attacks, the more vulnerable you have become to others. This day, fill the room of your mind to overflowing with thoughts of love and gratitude, and you will close the window to negative thoughts. They may strike the panes, but you will be free from their assaults. Love, God. All right, I see that Elena Johnson is here with us this morning. Good to see you, Elena, as always. Now, Elena found me through Ray, so it's great to have you here. Elena is a wonderful person I've gotten to know a little bit about. So Ashley Day is also here. She says, good morning, everybody. And Michelle Doherty says, good morning, friends. Elena Johnson says, fabulous book. It is a fabulous book, and we're going to do a wonderful deep dive into it in just a moment. Heather Ellis is here as well. And Dominic and Juanita are here as always. Jerome Johnson is here too. I see that I have. Hey, okay, cool. I've never used the private function, chat function before, Ray. Thank you very much for sharing that with me. So now I want to bring in Ray Higdon. And before I do that, I want to just real quick tell you that nobody has changed my own life as fast as Ray. And here's what I mean. Ray and I met through a chain of events. Doesn't really matter. The point is that Ray recommended the software that we're using after I had struggled with so much different types of software. He recommended this book that completely expanded my mind. He recommended a mastermind group, and it was sort of in association with that group that I not only came up with the idea for my reality TV show, but had the opportunity yesterday to pitch it to a major Hollywood producer. So if Ray can do all this for me in about a week, about a month, imagine what he can do for you. So everybody, please welcome. Let me take this overlay away. I'm sorry I'm obscuring your face there, dude. There's Ray Higdon. Everybody say hello to Ray. Feel free to comment and ask him questions. How are you this fine morning?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Awesome.
Thanks for having me.
Did you create that shirt?
Yeah, this is our shirt.
Really?
We made this probably 3 years ago, something like that. And yeah, we love it, and I get comments on it all the time, so it's great.
That's fantastic. We just came up with a new one too. Complainiac is the term we're using. People that are insanely passionate about getting complaining out of our world. And we have these shirts that say, hello, I'm a complainiac, like you would wear at a conference or something like that. So we'll have to swap shirts.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to send you one.
No doubt. We've already swapped books. Let's swap shirts. I think that would be awesome. Well, listen, I want to get right in because your book is fantastic. I have not finished it. I'm honest, just like you were when you interviewed me. However, I did sit down and I read for about 45 minutes last weekend. And I've got some questions I want to ask you. And so there are three major takeaways from the book, right? Can you share what the three major takeaways are? What are the three things you really want people to get?
Yeah, the three major takeaways, from our book, Time, Money, Freedom. It's the 10 simple rules to redefine what's possible and radically reshape your life. The three major takeaways are, number one, that you can create a great life despite having a tough past. Number two, you can inspire people and inspire yourself by sharing the things that you've survived, the trauma you've overcome, the obstacles you've overcome. And number three, and very important and should be talked about, is the more money you make, the more good you can do.
Yeah.
A lot of times in society, making a lot of money is demonized or, evil or greedy or something negative. And the reality is you can only donate so much of your time. You can only volunteer so much. We all have bills to pay. But with more money, you can build more abuse centers, schools, water wells, provide more for the homeless or the needy or whatever cause floats your boat. And so we really want to, be a beacon for that, for people to be okay with making more money. It's not a bad thing.
Yeah. I think it was Pearl Bailey said, I've been broke and I've been rich, and honey, rich is better.
There you go.
And you're absolutely right. I mean, one of the things that I've noticed is that on television, it's okay to demonize people with money. That's one of the things that, because there's the schadenfreude that's tied to it. And so we love trash talking and we love seeing the downside of people with money. And so unfortunately, what most people don't see is that the people who do have money are doing some amazing things in the world. And they're specifically doing it behind the scenes and quietly because they're doing it because they want to make a difference, not because they're saying, hey, dig me or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's, a few things there. I mean, if you look at, it's very popular now for, politicians to attack, the really wealthy and want to take things away from them and tax them higher but if you think about it, if I think about the two, at least currently, richest people in the world, and you may hear my kids.
I think it's wonderful.
But the two richest people in the world, I believe right now, are Bezos and Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Well, the other day, we were pushing our double stroller, and it doesn't have any it's an expensive stroller, but it doesn't have any cup holders. And I thought, man, I wish this thing had cup holders. And I go on Amazon and I search, cup holder for strollers. Bah, bah, bah. The next morning, it's at my door.
Right.
That's wizardry. That's sorcery. Yeah. If you told someone in the 80s, there'll be a time where you can come up with any random thought and just on a little device and bing, it would be at your doorstep. They'd be like, that's not humanly possible. Like that's logistically impossible. How could they come up with my crazy idea and have it to me in the next day? That doesn't make any sense. It's sorcery. It's amazing. And so I'm very grateful that they have invested their money in the technology and the logistics and the supply chain management to be able to do that kind of thing. When I first got a Tesla, I literally was blown away that this vehicle was allowed to exist. The only liquid in it is the windshield wiper fluid. Like, it's like, I don't change the oil. There is no oil. I don't put gas in. There is no gas. And I'm just like, I'm shocked that this thing exists. And if you look at the things that Elon has been doing for, humanity, yes, he makes a lot of money. And I want him to make a lot of money so that he invested into more things that we don't know that we need, but are awesome when he does them. Right. And so it's just a different way of looking at money.
Absolutely. And it's a mindset, because when your mindset changes, your bank account changes. And so absolutely. Once we cease to villainize people with money, then we open ourselves up to be more prosperous. So listen, tell me about the 10 rules. Cover the 10 rules for us, if you would. To change.
Yeah.
Tell us about those.
What's that?
Said, I'm just repeating myself. Give you time to look at the book.
Yeah. So we, you know, how we came up with these rules is part of this was reverse engineering. What did we do? And, you know, so, you know, not that long ago, I'm working for a county government. I'm in a cubicle. I'm, you know, not overjoyed with what I do as a career. And then, through a long story, ended up getting crushed in the real estate market and got wiped out. And so I was dead broke, personal foreclosure. My wife was working at the makeup counter at Nordstrom here in Naples, which, you know, interestingly enough, from the pandemic, after being in Naples, a key store for 20 plus years, actually closed its doors. Wow. And so it just goes to show you that, you know, a lot of people found out this year how financially fragile they were. And so we really reverse engineered, like, what were the steps that we took to create a company that we love, that impacts people, that we get testimonials every day from, and also has made millions and millions of dollars. And we broke it down into these 10 rules. And so we broke them down. So the book actually goes, you know, by chapter, is really by rule. And so, and I'll expand on, I think, a couple that have really, that we've gotten the most feedback from. This has only been out now, as of today, 4 weeks. So this is wow. The week it's been available. So rule number one, get upset. Now, that sounds strange, right? Because, you know, law of attraction, you're supposed to, you know, never, ever be upset. But, you know, a lot of people are not challenging their life and not, you know, they're just settling and they're not, you know, they're not living to their potential, and they would just feel so much better if they actually lived into their potential. And that's, you know, so it's an interesting thing. Number two is pluck your weeds. Now, that's without a doubt the rule we've gotten the most feedback on. Pluck your weeds. I think some people go into it thinking, oh, that means negative people in my life, right? Mm-hmm. And it could, right? It could be the complainers, right? You could be weeding out, become a complainer maniac. But it's not just that. It's what is in your life, or how are you even showing up that isn't congruent with who you want to be? And so in the book, I give an example. This was very early this year. I think January maybe, but my wife and I were at a charity function. And one of our friends comes up and says, hey, did you see the Belize trip? And I'm like, no. And they said, oh my God, there's a trip to Belize. It's a, you know, and this was a charity auction. It's a trip to Belize. It's, you know, five couples only. It's a private jet, private yacht, private island, private everything, chef, right? And my wife is like, oh my God, that sounds amazing. That sounds awesome. Me, I'm like, that sounds like hell. Like I didn't show my cards. I played it cool, but my wife is like super excited. And I'm like, oh God, this sounds horrible. Like literally a nightmare. And when I'm driving home, I'm like, what the hell's wrong with me? Like, why is her reaction yay? And mine's like, ooh, that sounds terrible. And so I decided to dig into that, because that was a part of my personality that I really didn't like. The truth is, just even a year ago, year and a half ago, I really suffered with social anxiety. I could, you know, speak in front of 20,000 people, no problem. You know, and I've done that a few times. I could be on a webinar or be on an interview with thousands of people, no problem. But you get me off of that stage and want to talk personal stuff, that's where I get a little weird and I get a little uncomfortable and a little nervous. And I never knew why. And so I decided through a few factors, through some, you know, coaches, through some, you know, meditation and, you know, et cetera, I actually found out the source of that issue. And it actually comes down, like so many things, it comes down to something that happened when I was younger. In the third grade, my teacher knew that something was off with my environment. And I was in a very abusive home, very physically abusive home. And so one day my third grade teacher says, hey, I'd like you to start meeting with, you know, this person. And that was the guidance counselor. And so I start meeting with her and, you know, she starts asking me questions that no one else had ever asked me. Asked me, how was home life? How are, you know, things at home with my dad and my stepmom? And I started sharing. It actually felt nice. No one had ever really asked me these things or listened to me, really. You know, when I went home, I wasn't allowed to go to anyone's house. I had to play outside by myself and I really didn't have, you know, people to talk to. And so this was kind of nice. And so I shared the different things that were going on. I shared, you know, how I was being treated, and I really trusted her. And then, you know, one day I go in for our meeting, and there sat my dad, my stepmom, and, you know, the guidance counselor. And she proceeded to tell everything I'd ever told her to my parents, because she believed that it was so, the stories were so outrageous and so wild that I had to be making them up. And so, you know, that from that day forward, I literally never trusted anybody. And that was a great betrayal to me. And that was, it was also a very bad day when I got home.
Sure.
Imagine. And so that has kept me from being connected, allowing people into me personally for my entire life. And, you know, with that realization, I can show up differently. So that was a deeper weed to pluck, but it's completely changed my wife and I's relationship. We had a great relationship, but I was the one always wanting to leave the party early. I was the one not wanting to go to the party in the beginning, right? Like, is there any way we can get out of this thing, right? And she is a socialite. And so I really plucked that weed because I wanted to be the best version of the best husband, you know, for her. And so identifying what are those things, either personal traits, it could be as simple as, I don't, you know, why am I, you know, like my friend Mark used to say, why am I Cinderella-ing around the house and, you know, spending time with my kids? Maybe I could hire that out. Maybe that's a weed you should pluck. Right. And so it's really looking at your life and every segment of your life and saying, is that congruent with who I want to be? Is that congruent with how I want to show up? And so that's probably been the biggest rule that we've got feedback on.
You know, I want to interject something here, and I think you and I touched on it briefly in a private conversation, and that is that I notice that people who do what you and I do, people who are look for ways to basically save their own life, sanity, et cetera, and contextualize the childhood they went through, we end up becoming the people who try and guide other people. And yet the interesting thing is people project onto us that, wow, you're perfect, born that way and everything. And what they don't realize is we've bumped along the bottom probably worse than most people. And right. It's what we've learned and the structures and the frameworks we've created that we want to share with other people.
Absolutely. I mean, I've, you know, I'm sure like you have been, you know, especially because of the nature of your book of not complaining, right. I'm sure that people have said, well, it must be nice to not have anything to complain about.
Exactly. And I always, and when I speak on stages, I joke and say, you've heard that if the glass is half full, you're an optimist. If it's half empty, you're a pessimist. Well, I was so negative, I thought the water was poisoned. I mean, that's how negative I was. So. Wow. Listen, I really don't want to get into all the secrets. I want people to buy the book. I think this is exciting because one of the things I love about the book is that it is not just advice. Like you said, you've put checklists in there. You're a very successful person. You have, and most successful people don't know how they got successful. So for someone to, as you say, reverse engineer what you have done, what has been the greatest realization for yourself in this process?
In the process of the book or the process?
Yeah, the process of the book, of the process of writing and sharing the book.
You know, that it gives people a different, you know, I mean, I've done a lot of videos. I'm kind of crazy. I've done at least one video a day every day for 11 years without missing one day. And because I'm a little crazy. And so a lot, not all, but a lot of the things in the book I have shared in different videos over the years. But something is different about it being in a book. And I find that people, I guess reading it, it's translating different for people. So I have people I've never met before sending us reviews and saying, oh my God, this changed my life. And this is my first exposure to anything you've ever done. But I also have students that have been with me for 10 years that says, this is changing my life. And so that's cool to hear, because a lot of this I have said in one way or another. Just that feeling that this is, it's increased my responsibility to do whatever I can to get this in the hands of as many people as possible. And so I'm grateful that you're allowing me to do that.
Oh, I'm honored. And there are so many people. And one of the things, I want to read something. It's a liner note from the book. Where did I actually quoted it in today's things. Oh, here it is. This book isn't about upending your life and making drastic changes and taking huge risks. I think that's awesome, because when people read a self-improvement book, there a lot of times when they read something about weeding things out of their life, you're right. It's like, quit your job, go here, from someone who has no skin in the game. So this is awesome. It's about taking small steps successfully and reaching your goals, which will give you the opportunity to go as far as you want to on your terms. The changes you make don't have to be all or nothing. We would never ask that of you. But what we do want you to do is stop accepting your life as it is.
Yeah. Powerful. Yeah. And, you know, I think a lot of, or I know, not that I think, I see a lot of people who reach success and they take their level of desire and they push that level of desire upon everyone else, right? Well, if you want to be like me, then you got to do this and do it, right? And hey, listen, everyone has different levels of desire, you know? And so that's okay. You know, I have good friends that my goals have absolutely nothing to do with their goals. They have very, very different goals, and that's okay. It's not let's make everyone a millionaire or whatever. Let's help everyone live a life that inspires themselves and possibly inspires others, and that they feel really good about, and not, you know, settling, not saying, well, this really sucks, but, you know, probably the best I can do. You know, that's one thing that we really fight against. And quite frankly, I was blessed when I was, you know, 19 years old. I was working at a Winn-Dixie, and truth is, I was getting away from a lot of bad influences by working that job and two other jobs. I'd been in really rough friends, and I was not that I was the angel or anything, but you know, I was in a rough area. A lot of my friends that I hung out with went to prison. A lot of my friends, you know, I actually had to testify at a murder trial, and there's some, you know, intense stuff there. I'm working at this Winn-Dixie, the graveyard shift, because I had two other jobs, and I ask one of the managers, or the main manager there, and I talk about this in the book, and I said, I'm looking for career advice, right? And so I asked him, I said, hey, you know, you've been here a while, right? And he said, yeah, I've been here 12 years. I'm like, oh, you must love it then. And he said, oh, I hate it. And I'm like, what do you mean? And because that was foreign to me, it didn't make sense. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, you know what, at this point, you know, I'm making, and I honestly, I think, and this was obviously a few years ago, I'm in my 40s, but he said, I believe he said, you know what, I'm making like 12 bucks an hour and I probably can't go anywhere and make as much, so I'm just gonna ride it out here. And that stuck with me at 19 years old. That was a microchip that got planted in my head. And I said, I will never be that. I will never be in a situation where I don't like it And I just say, well, the best I can do. And so, you know, I work my way up in the corporate world. I work my way up to a pretty good salary, right around $80,000 a year, which I think, you know, for most people, that'd be, hey, that's not bad. Not that's bad at all.
Yeah, and, sure.
And so, you know, but the harder I work, the more they would pay me, which is nice, but the more they would demand of me. So I'm missing family trips. I'm having to reschedule things. I'm missing, you know, the Cub Scout meeting. I'm missing the, you know, going to the, you know, going to watch the soccer game. And I'm like, you know what? There's no end to this. I mean, I look at my boss and her boss and or his boss and her boss, and they're all making more money, but also more miserable. And so, you know, that was uncomfortable to go out on my own at that point. A lot of people didn't agree with that, but that I'm so grateful for that lesson back there. And so just know that, you know, don't, you know, like Oprah says, life is not a dress rehearsal. If you're in a career, especially that you just don't love, then, you know, you can do something else. You can reinvent yourself. And doesn't mean, you know, like you read, doesn't mean just jump out right away, right? You can start making some extra money on the side. And that's one of the rules is to, you know, lay the groundwork and, you know, create a way for you to do that. And we give a few suggestions in there.
Yeah. And wonderfully, you really do. And I was reminded of the quote from Mark Twain, make your avocation your vocation. Yeah. And that's a good way to transition. Let me give some people a chance to say hello, et cetera. Sure. There's Elena who loves your book. Heather Ellis is here. She's here every morning, as always. This is Dominic and Juanita. Magnificent Monday. Am I missing a day? There's Jerome Johnson. I know that he can relate. Jerome actually is a manager of a grocery store. Good morning. I'm excited for the lives daily. Oh, our daily lives. Good to see you, Natasha, as always. Janelle is here. Good morning. Great to see you. Kathy Cruz says, good morning. Anybody have a question for Ray? Please post it. We're going to give you just a minute or two to do that. Take a second and do that. Elena says, hey, Ray Higdon, thank you for sharing Will and the complaint-free life. I love this because Ray has shared me with his friends, and I've been able to share Ray, and I think this is awesome. Yeah, there you go. Awesome. I want to get to, this is more directed, I think, at me, but Lynn says, good morning, Will and everyone. Then she says, my mom says not complaining is impossible. She is 87 years old. I love the fact that if somebody says something and they're old enough, we go, well, okay.
I got a funny story around that.
Yeah, tell me.
So she has since passed. But Jess's grandma, she was 101 years old. Wow. And it was on Thanksgiving, and all the kids were gathered around, and she was tough, right? She's from, you know, tough lady. And they asked her, you know, grandma, you know, she was, I think, 99 at the time, and said, you know, grandma, you know, is there, you know, anything that you would do differently? And, you know, and, you know, we're all in this season of gratitude and Thanksgiving and love and everything. And she says, I wouldn't have kids. And we're like, no smile. I'm like,
yeah. Ouch. Awesome. Bill Doherty says, great interview. Whoops, terrific. Tuesday says Juanita. Good morning, says Jamie. By the way, if you're here for the first time, please let us know. And please share this book. By the way, I want to make an interesting comment. Don't give my book, A Complaint-Free World, to your friends and family at Christmas. They don't tend to take it well. Inspire them by giving them Time, Money, and Freedom by Ray and Jessica Higdon. I haven't held it up more because my background makes it disappear, as you can see. But that's, there we go. That's what it actually looks like. So give us your URL so we can send everybody to order your book, please. And I'm going to type it in.
And I will share one more rule while people are, you know, maybe thinking of questions or something. It's at tmfbook.com.
www.tmfbook.com.
And, you know, the final rule here is make an impact. So that's rule, know, that's page 187, rule number 10, make an impact. And I want to share a quick story that I also share in the book. We did a reality show. We've done two seasons of a reality show. And in the first season, there was a lady on there, Renee Adams. And Renee, she had never shared her story. She had no one around her knew her story. And she'd also never spoke out, spoke in public. She had never presented. I don't think she'd ever even done a video ever. And something about the magic of what we created with that reality show, she opened up and shared her story, which is one of the toughest stories I've ever heard. She went through a lot of physical abuse, a lot of sexual abuse. She even was trafficked. And so I literally, it's very hard to think of a worse, situation. And so she shared those stories, and obviously we, offered our condolences that she didn't deserve that. But I shared with her, listen, you're a survivor. You've overcome those incredible, incredible things. And man, could you inspire and help some people? Like, you could really get out there and start sharing your story, which you'd never done, and inspire some people. Within 2 weeks, and this is all about making an impact, within 2 weeks, she was speaking at women's abuse centers and making a difference. And then 2 months ago, she spoke at the 17th Annual International Conference for Human Trafficking from the University of Toledo and shared her story in front of 19 countries. And so people all over the world got to hear her story. And this is from someone that 1 year ago, year and a half ago, no one knew. And so, like, you can make an impact. And I really hope people get that, right. Your story of what you overcame and survived may resonate with people that my story never will. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. You go out and inspire others that may really, really need it.
Awesome. Patricia wants to know, is the book available in French? I would imagine that it's not yet.
This is the Pay House. And so I do believe that, they will be doing different translations. I don't know the rollout schedule, but it is a Hay House book. They have the rights, to it.
As an author, I can recommend that you reach out, Patricia, to Hay House.
You
want the book in French. That's how my books get translated in all the various languages. Is something
that's great.
Lynn says she's got to rewrap her gifts and buy everybody your book.
Hey, I like that.
Heather wants to know how you would feel about your Belize trip now.
So we, after plucking that weed, after doing that work, we bought the Belize trip. And we had it scheduled, and then something, I don't know if you've heard of it, but COVID happened. And so we haven't been able to take the trip, but we are on the trip. And so it's us, four other couples, and I have zero anxiety about it. And I'll tell you, why I did. I told you kind of the root reason why, but how I viewed that trip, real simple, two words, no escape. So to me, I would have to be having conversations with people. I couldn't just hide in my room. I would have to be answering questions and that was a self-worth issue. It was a trust issue. If I keep everyone at bay, then they can't possibly hurt me. And so that's how I used to think for the majority of my life.
Wow. Awesome. Last comment I'm going to give to my good friend Daniel Byrne, who actually worked with me on two of my books, Happy This Year and Happy Stories. Daniel says, thank you for sharing this book and your personal experiences with us, Ray. And thank you, Will, for sharing the conversation with us. I lied. Heather says, oh, shoot, but I'm sure it will be great when you go. Good.
Yes.
Ray, thank you so much. I did, we've talked a bit. I didn't realize you had a TV show.
Well, it's a, we publish it online. It's a reality show that we publish on our Facebook page. Both seasons amassed over 1 million views. So that's, that was cool. And, we had a lot of fun doing it, and we made some tweaks along the way. And we've done two seasons of it, and it was a blast.
That's awesome. Well, I'm going to just update my audience that, like I said, along with the mind expansion that Ray has given me and a number of other things I put together, spent the last 7 days working on my pitch for my reality show, and I sent it off to a major Hollywood producer yesterday who's actually already expressed an interest in it. So just like when I wrote my book, it's not a question of if, it's a question of when. I always tell my girlfriend, my name's Will, not won't. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for being here, Ray. This has been a blast. I tell you, Ray has been saying, okay, I'm going to interview you. And he did. And then he's like, you want to interview me? And I was like, well, yeah, but I'm scared. I don't know how to do the technology. So I think so far, so good.
You've done amazingly. And I will tell you, funny side note, when I was building a network marketing organization and, you know, my wife and I, we became the number one income earners of that company. Our team name was Team Start Living.
Really?
Right?
Yeah. Team Start Living. Well, here's one more thing, and then we're going to say goodbye. The very first, back when I was in a minister, I did a CD of my best talks ever, and it was called Time, Money, and Other Giants. So, wow. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Ray, thank you so much. I look forward to talking to you again, and thank you all. Ray, your URL for you personally. We've posted the one for the book. How do people, if they want to get in touch with you and Jess and find out more about you?
Yeah, I mean, probably the best is just search my name, Ray Higdon, on your favorite social media platform, and I'll be on there.
Ray Higdon. Awesome. Thank you all so much. Thanks for being here, and I look forward to being with you again tomorrow. Take care. Enjoy today.
Thanks. No more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high.